Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and I got all new equipment today in the studio, so you probably hear a better sound than ever, and maybe we'll talk about dog and cat equipment later, because, you know, you gotta get with the times. I like my old equipment, I'm really used to it, and I was kinda persuaded, kicking and screaming, to finally get new equipment when my old headset broke while on air. Yeah, while doing a live show, I had to hold it together with my hands. So I got new equipment and I'm loving it. And it makes me realize there's a lot of new stuff out there for cats and dogs we should be talking about on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. So you're listening to me, Deb Wolf, and we're going to go through some news and some training and some animal topics that I've picked out for you all, because this is Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. So here we go. I was thinking the other day that there's a song, the lyrics, we're here for a good time, not a long time. So have a good time. The sun can't shine every day. Okay, we're here for a good time, not a long time. I was actually singing that song, backing up a band on the stage. And it occurred to me that's the dog motto. That's what's going through their head all the time. We're here for a good time, not a long time. We only have 10 to 15 years on this planet, most of us, and we are going to make the most of it. 10 or 15 Christmases, 10 or 15 summers, 10 or 15 Halloweens, 10 or 15 springs, 10 or 15 trips to the summer cottage, all that kind of stuff. So that's what your dog's thinking when it greets you. Like it's the biggest, hugest deal, and all you did was move the car or take out the garbage. You know what? He doesn't get unlimited greetings for 80 years. He only has 10 years of greetings. So he may as well enjoy that moment. And I think sometimes we forget about that with our cats. You know, most cats are not as exuberant in their expressions of emotion. So they're a little bit more cool, like cool cats. They may show you they're happy by winding around your feet, or maybe you've got a drooly cat that really lays it on thick when you come in the door, but they're probably not as cuckoo bananas about greetings as your happy young dog would be. And but we got to remember, you know, just because you can walk by the cat and ignore him more easily, don't do it. Give that cat the greeting. Show your cat you want to say hi. Okay, now, if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, didn't you tell us how to do that? How are we supposed to say hi to our cats again? All right, here it is. When you walk into a room and you see a cat who likes you, cat you know, or cat who's very affectionate, or even a cat you don't know, but if you do it with cats you know who like you, they will communicate back, so it's more rewarding. If you do it with a cat you don't know, he may say hello back, he may not. He may just come check you out because he's fascinated by a human who actually bothers to learn a few words of cat and communicate. So here we go. This is what you do. You walk into the room, you look at your cat, you close your eyes for an exaggerated time. So not a quick blink. I'd say 3 seconds, because you're probably going to do it less. But close your eyes. 1, 2, 3. Now open them and look at your cat. So you looked at your cat and you closed your eyes for 3 seconds, and then you open them. And what your cat will do, if your cat wants to say hello back, is the exact same thing right back at you. Your cat will close its eyes, 1, 2, probably 2 seconds, and then open them and look at you. That's like a high five, a human nod, a wave. That's how cats say hello to cats they trust. Now, why would that be their signal? Well, because they're showing you, I trust you enough to close my eyes in your presence. If you were a big threat, a new dog, cat they didn't know, loud screaming person, they would not do that. It doesn't matter how much you close your eyes, they're not closing theirs. They're watching you, because they're only 10 to 12 pounds. They got to run if stuff goes wrong. They got to be able to escape quickly if a big dog comes in to hunt them, or something else, a coyote, or who knows what. They're kind of at the bottom of the food chain for a lot of animals, so they got to be ready to go, on the alert. But if they will close their eyes in front of you, then they trust you. There's something a little bit equivalent to this that we see in the dog park. Okay, I better get back to that. I'm going to make a note of that so I don't forget. Because first, I'm going to tell you how to say hello to a dog. So that's how you say hello to a cat. Very simple. Look at the cat, stare him right in the eyes, then close your eyes. One, two, three, and open them. Now he's going to do the same thing back at you. And most of the time, that cat will then approach you. You don't have to approach it. Cats generally, most of the time, most cats don't want you to approach them. They want to approach you for the same reasons I just outlined. I mean, they're 10 pounds. And most of us are over 100. Imagine if you were trying to interact with an individual from a species that was 10 times our size on average, or 20 times. Say it's a 200-pound person. It's pretty scary. They could step on you and break you. So you got to be careful. And that's how toy dogs run through the world, too. Even though cats and dogs are predators of some things, they are also, especially small dogs, prey. So they run through the world a little bit on the alert, as you would too if that was your situation. So how do you say hi to a dog? Well, stay tuned, because we're going to go to break and come back, and I'm going to tell you how to say hi to a dog and how to tell if two dogs trust each other at the dog park. Our animal party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. Stay tuned. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! We're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. And I promised I'd tell you how to say hi to your dog. So this is what you do. If you've seen men who sort of know each other, they're not best friends. They don't want to hug. They don't want to do a one-armed hug. They don't want to do a high five. They don't want to do a fist bump. They don't want to do a handshake. But they know each other well enough to say hi if they were in a small setting. Now, there's one guy already at the restaurant. Another guy arrives and they catch eye of each other. They meet eyes. They lock eyes across the room. A lot of people in the way. They're not going to go run over and say hi. Hi. No, no, no. But what they are going to do, usually, is one man will take his head a little bit angled downward and move it upward like a flick. And the other guy will usually do the same, or he'll move his head downward. Like a nod. And that's kind of like, hey man, how's it going? Okay, bud. I see ya. I see you. That's it. That's all it is. That's what your dogs do. So when you come in, if you're meeting a dog you don't know and you want to say hi to him, you can do the same thing. You can look at him, not too directly, not intensely, not like you want to fight with him. Same as the cats, right? You're not going to keep eye contact. No, but you can look at him. And then gently, you can even close your eyes if you're worried that you're kind of staring, close your eyes, then just nod your head up, just up. And what you'll find is that dog will do the same thing. He will nod his head in greeting to you. And then you just said hi to your dog. So now you can say hi to your cat and you can say hi to your dog. All right, I'm going to get to some news because a dog was returned from a long way away and so was a cat. And I love those stories, even though only 10% of lost cats get returned. And only 60% of lost dogs get returned. Still, one of them is a microchip story. And I want to make sure whatever you do, if you have cats and dogs who wander, if you're worried about this, if you're moving, if you just happen to be at the vet, ask for it. They can microchip your cat or dog in 2 seconds. It's like a little injection they do at the back of the neck and it's boom, done. And then you have the peace of mind to know that if your dog or cat ever ends up loose or lost or stolen or in somebody's hands where it ends up in a good place like a vet or an SPCA or a shelter, your dog or cat will be reunited with you. So microchipping is good. All right. So, okay. Dogs in the park. When you see two dogs in the park go back to back, that's a sign of trust. You'll see it in movies. You'll see it in war. You'll see it police. You'll see it all kinds of situations where two people on the same team are surrounded. They will automatically go back to back. Now, one person, let's say they're armed people, one person has his gun surrounding half the circumference of the circle, and the other person has their gun covering half, and they have back to back. So they're each covering each other's back. That's what dogs do. That's exactly what dogs do, back to back. I got your back, you got my back, literally. So if you see that in a park, that's a sign that those two dogs are together. There's other signs two dogs are together, and one of them's a little strange. So, the one sign that I find a little strange, and I just saw it the other day, I was at McDonald Beach off Richmond near the airport, and I saw two little dogs. And one of the dogs jumped out of the car. They were getting ready to go for a walk. And he got all excited. He's running around. He's a little, I don't know, 15 pound, 20 pound little fluffy thing. Upright ears, white and black, brushed immaculately. And he's just giving it, you know. Bow, 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 running around, freaking out. So they tell him, they pat the car and he jumps back in and he's quiet again. And then they let him out again and he's doing this little scrummy behavior. And I see why he's scrumming. There's another dog, pretty much exactly like him, in the car, possibly a female or just a smaller version of him. Okay. So now he's scrumming. And the other dog jumps out of the car like it's supposed to. And the two are on leash and they start to head toward the off-leash area. They're walking through the dog park. And the first one starts to just harass the other one on its face, on its ears, kind of not mounting sexually, but jumping on it and pouncing on it and wrestling with it and just giving it the gears, just giving it such a hard time. Now, the other dog, the so-called, I guess, victim for all to watch, is so happy with this. It's like grinning and it's used to this. This is their ritual. So, what's that all about? You've probably seen this with other dogs. I've seen it so many times. It's posturing. It's showing the rest of the dog park, we're a team, and look how tough I am. So it's complicated, but that's what's going on there. And they're both happy to do it because they want everybody to know how tough they are and that they're a team. The first dog is not hurting the second dog, although it does sound like it. And it's just one of those odd behaviors that you get in dogdom. All right, everybody, let's go to some news. I want to talk about, well, since we just talked about two dogs jumping on each other, and oftentimes these are boy dogs, not necessarily a boy and a girl. Well, when it's a male and a female from the same house, sometimes, even when they're neutered and spayed, what they'll demonstrate at the park is the male will jump on top of her as if they're trying to make puppies, and they're not. And there's nothing happening, but it's just, it's a display. Look, she's my wife, and she's sitting underneath him going, he's my husband. Just in case you're wondering, nobody else is coming up here. And that's the signal for the dog park. So there's another interesting signal. So there's this penguin. Yeah. There's two. No, they're flamingos. They're flamingos. Two flamingos are male flamingos at the San Diego Zoo. And they don't have names. I'm sorry to say they are number 26 and number 27. Two male flamingos are daddies. They were acting so much like a couple and so much like they wanted to raise young that the zookeepers gave them a dummy egg to see what they would do with it. And they tended it so well that then they gave them a fertilized egg and they tended that so well that now they have a baby. And they're going to have to do a blood test when the baby's a bit older to figure out if it's a boy or a girl. But these two male flamingos are raising a baby at the zoo. So I found that really interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, somewhere else in Melbourne, Australia, far, far away, there is a record-breaking penguin called Pesto, who is 49 pounds. And they've never seen anything like it. He's enormous. But apparently, this baby is so big because his parents are very good and they are feeding him 25 fish a day. So they say he'll slim down when his feathers come in. Well, we should hope so, right? I don't, he's so freakishly big. It's funny. Okay. So that was a little bit of zoo news. There was a rodeo in Massachusetts. This is sort of interesting, where 8 bulls escaped. Well, I would not want to be on the road or nearby with 8 bulls. Although bulls get a bad rap because, you know, in bullfighting, they're actually triggered into reacting the way they do. In general, a bull's not going to react much unless you challenge its territory or you come near its females or you scare it. So they've got a pretty bad rap. And then they pick the worst of the worst of the worst for those sports. So they kind of give you the idea that all bulls are difficult. Now, I wouldn't suggest you go walk through a field with one in it, because that would be a challenge to its territory. But and if you do, go slowly and be ready to get out of there. All right. So 1,000 miles, a cat returned from Yellowstone to California. The cat was lost and it returned. And I'm going to come back after the break and tell you about an interesting story. A police dog jumping into a police car that was moving. Why? Because someone had stolen the car. Well, how did that go? Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio, and find out.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I do say that it's really difficult to get a dog or a cat back when they're lost. Yeah, it is. But there's a good news story. A dog that had never been out of the Yukon. The Yukon is the north in Canada. So it was lost along the Alaska-Canadian border. A pit bull cross. It was actually stolen. Yeah, stolen. I mean, who would steal a pit bull cross? Why are people stealing? It makes you worry. It makes you worry it was stolen for fighting or something like that. But it actually wasn't. It was stolen and missing for a long time. And Toby, this dog, went missing up in Alaska, had never been out of the north, ended up, of all places, in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, got dumped. Whoever stole it just decided to dump it. So the dog wandered into a cafe, the Phoenix Cafe, and they figured out it had a microchip. And Toby's now back up in the north. Yay, Toby. So that's an interesting little snowbird trip for a pit bull cross to take. But it just goes to show you how good the microchips can be in helping you get your dogs and your cats back. So here's this story. I love this story. I got to watch it on our local news. A guy decides, well, first of all, a woman was ill in a park. So the police came over with their car, drove into the park, busy weekend, children everywhere, big playground, nice day, right? And just this past weekend. And the police drive in and they leave their car and they go run to the woman who's in trouble health-wise. And some guy, the accused, gets in their police car and starts to drive it around the crowded park where there's kids and families, and picnics and whatever. And he starts doing donuts. And so what do the police do? Well, at one point they open the car door and the police dog jumps in. Dun, da, da, da. I love these stories. So now the guy who's driving thinks, no, thank you. And he runs for it. He jumps out of the car and he runs and the police dog stops him, tackles him, and one person got hurt trying to get out of the way of the car before the dog got in it, but no one else was hurt. No children were hurt and it wasn't serious and everybody's okay. So thanks to the police dog at Templeton Park in Vancouver last weekend, the guy who ran into the car apparently had 50 priors. So it's definitely something to consider. You know, people could have got hurt. The police could have got hurt. The dog could have got hurt. A lot could have gone wrong with all that. So it's a good ending. And these dogs are so amazing. They're so well trained to know who to go for and who not to go for. I mean, there was no question for that dog that he might make a mistake and go for the wrong person. No question at all. They are just on their game. Okay, so I should talk a little bit more about those cats, because you might be worried about them, Cheech and Chong. So Chong has now completely recovered from his injury, and we figured out what the injury was. And this kind of has to do with equipment. It's time for me to get an equipment update on my cat doors. So if you know of a cat door that you find is really, really good, please let me know. Because the ones I have are not as good as I thought they were. And I've been ordering these same ones for years. And when they break, I get a new one. And they're the kind that you can put between anywhere there's exterior. So they have two panels, one that goes on the outside and one that goes on the inside. And they have doors that lock so you can lock your cats in or out. I would never lock them out, but you can lock them in at night and then you can open it. And they have all kinds of options. They're good. So I thought they were good, but it turns out that injury that Chong got, where all of a sudden he started limping and his whole back right thigh was hurt. And this is a one-year-old cat, medium hair tabby, male, neutered. Anyway, he's really active and athletic. And all of a sudden he was dragging this one leg and I thought, oh no. So I felt it and couldn't feel any breaks. Couldn't feel any problems. But I thought, just to be sure, I'd take him to the vet. The vet felt it and he agreed it was probably just muscle strain, stress. He said to isolate the cat for a couple of weeks with no exercise. So I started to do that. And about a week into it, all of a sudden, his brother, short-haired male tabby, same litter, starts limping on a different foot. Now what's going on? So I put him in the same room. Now they're both on quarantine and that's a bit difficult because you probably know cats love the vertical. How do you stop them from jumping up on the desk or the chair or the filing cabinet? Well, it's difficult. Let's just put it that way. But a cat proofed the room with a litter box and food and water and quarantined them so they wouldn't get any exercise. Now I got two injured cats. What is going on? All right. So again, feel them all over. Make sure there's nothing wrong. There's no wounds. There's a little scrape underneath all that fur on the long-haired one, Chong. Little scrape. But it didn't get infected and it wasn't hot and it's not a bite wound. What could it be? What could it be? So now Chong's all better. And I see him going out the cat door and I see his leg get stuck. And the cat door flaps back and slams on his leg because he's long. He's a long, big cat. And a cat door maybe doesn't account for that. So now I've had to change things and I'm going to have to buy new cat doors. But it just goes to show you there's always room to update your equipment. And it takes some observation sometimes to figure out what's wrong. I thought I was blaming my dogs. I thought, well, you know, my dogs like cats, but maybe one of them just got too excited, was playing with the cat. And even though they're retrievers, maybe it grabbed the cat too hard. I mean, I was just trying to come up with what this could be. But now I saw it. It's a cat door. That's what it is. So I got to get new cat doors, two of them, because I never want my cats to be outside and unable to come home. I always want them to be able to come in, no matter what the weather, no matter what the situation. Always want them to be able to come in. And I'd like to be able to set the doors so once they're in at night, they can't go out again. I need some suggestions, everybody. Deb@petliferadio.com. Send me your cat door suggestions because the ones I've got certainly aren't working. All right. Well, we've come to the end of the show and I've given you quite a lot of news. A lot of news. I do want to highlight something I put on Facebook on my Deb Wolf, DEBWOLFE pet expert on Facebook. I posted a photograph of a sign that I saw outside the Richmond Chinese Night Market. Richmond is a city right near Vancouver, and it's where the Vancouver airport is, the international airport. So it's very much part of Vancouver, even though it's separate. So it's like a suburb, very, very close. One bridge takes you there. And they have different rules from everybody else. they have breed ban legislation that is like breed legislation on steroids. It's so strong. And the photograph I took shows the sign that's posted outside the Richmond Night Market. So everyone knows what dogs are allowed in and what dogs are not and under what rules. And it's like almost like a mugshot, honestly. Although the dogs are beautiful and they're photographed well, it's like a almost like a wanted poster, if you will. It's got photographs of a bunch of different dogs, heads, faces, close up. And it's basically these dogs are considered dangerous in the city of Richmond. They don't have to have a first offense. They don't have to do anything wrong just by being who they are. Now, you can guess who they are. There's a Rottweiler in there. There's a pit bull in there. And if you want to look it up, check out Deb Wolf, Pet Expert, on Facebook. And you'll see the sign. But it basically spells out that in the city of Richmond, if you have one of those dogs, you have to obey the rules as if you have a dog who's had a couple strikes, dog that's been deemed dangerous. Just by breed, they're deemed dangerous. So that means things like always leashed and always muzzled and never left unattended. I mean, various strict rules. So I'd love to know what you all think about that at deb@petliferadio.com. I just want to let you know where you can find me. Animal Party is on PetLifeRadio.com, where you can subscribe. But you can also find this show on iTunes and Spotify and everywhere podcasts play. I'd love it if you subscribe so you don't miss a show. But also on social media, you can find my training demos with real cats and real dogs, naughty ones. You can check that out at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. And for pet laughs and great social media posts, you can see Deb Wolf, Pet Expert, on Facebook. Here at Animal Party, I welcome your pet questions, comments, and guest suggestions, especially if you have a pet problem. I'm begging you like a beagle, please send me a voice clip message or text message to deb@petliferadio.com, and I'll answer your question on the air. I can even, if you send me your contact information, we will try to arrange to speak with you off air, record it, and solve your problem together. If you're a first-time listener, you can scroll through the older shows and find a topic or expert guest that really speaks to you. Maybe it's dog breed bans, or the royal family pets, or pets in war zones, or how to train your cat to use a litter box. Whatever it is, you can find it on one of my old shows, and they're all there at PetLifeRadio.com. So I hope you'll tune in wherever you listen to podcasts to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And from me, Deb Wolf and Animal Party, be good to your animals. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.